Let it be shown that Commissioner Burns is here, Commissioner Krieger, and Commissioner Mark Garber by telephone, and Commissioner Will Helms is here, and Commissioner Ramirez is out ill today. So, welcome. Glad to have you here. Let's open a public hearing and possible work session on Proposals 033 and Proposal 144. 033 Facilities Evaluation, 144 Building a New Office Building. And with that, we will introduce and welcome our two guests today, Dave Henderson and Herb Cohen. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Proceed. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Dave Henderson, Legislative Administrator. I'm going to talk briefly today about the Wings renovation project, which has been ongoing with us since probably the late 1990s is when we actually started talking about this project. I'm going to share with you a couple of documents that you should have copies of that are letters from the architect for the project.
Mark, can you hear okay?
Yeah, for now I can.
Okay, we're trying to make it a little better here for you.
It's a little soft.
It's a high-tech solution.
We're working on it here.
There were a number of factors that drove our decision to pursue the wing renovation project. As I said, in the late 90s and early 2000, I think, is when we were first talking about this. Some of the things that were going on were that we had plumbing in the wings that was failing, and I have here a couple of samples for you. This is a pipe that came out because it did actually start to leak, and it says first floor Senate men's restroom, and this came out in April of 2000. So that gives you an idea of what we're seeing, and this is happening throughout the wings with the plumbing. The other issue with the plumbing, and you can see this, and I'll bring this over and you can pass this around. If you look through there, you'll see that it is corroding from the inside out, and that is a pipe that is carrying the domestic water supply in the wings. And the result of that is that you get water that looks like this. This was drawn in, I don't recall exactly where, but in one of the sinks in the wings at some time within the last year or so, we drew this bottle of water. We actually have a custodian who comes in on Sunday evenings and goes around to all the bathrooms and the sinks in the wings and flushes the pipes so that Monday morning when people come in, it's not quite as bad as this, but some days it can be, especially during the interim when we don't have a lot of people in the building. During session, it's not quite this bad because there are many people in the building using the system.
Sure.
Commissioner Krieger.
Dave, when was that installed? Do we know?
This was installed when the wings were constructed in 1977.
And at that time, we didn't have PVC white pipe, or was that an option then that we didn't take?
I would defer to Herb on that question.
I can't give you the rationale for why that was done. We'll try and find out. This was when we were still under DAS for the construction project.
Because I know it would seem like it was available then. It wouldn't have been as expensive, and you wouldn't have that today.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I do know, anecdotally, that Salem Hospital, which was constructed at a similar time, had the same problem with plumbing there, and they ultimately ended up replacing all of their plumbing. So we had that going on with the plumbing system. We have, and I apologize for not having photocopies of this, but Herb can pass this around. What this shows is some of the computer cabling, which is installed in the ceilings in the wings. In the mid-90s, there was a direction from the assembly for us to look into making the legislature more electronic friendly, and so the installation of this network cabling was part of that project. The problem with that cabling is that it is not in the enclosed cable trays that it should be in. which means if there were a fire and the cable was to burn, we would have toxic gases being released from that cabling because it's not in the trace. It's not installed to code, but we have checked with the attorneys, and they said because we accepted the work at the time, we have no recourse against the contractor who did the installation. In addition to that, the 1997 session was the first session where we provided a PC to each legislator. Prior to that, some legislators brought in PCs and ran them as standalone units. But once we got the network cabling installed, we provided PCs, so the number of electrical devices in the wings grew exponentially from that point. And the power is not distributed correctly in the wings to handle this increased load. So we've run into issues where we've got to do modifications as far as providing power to run the PCs and the fax machines and the copiers and all the devices that members have in their offices. In addition to that, the HVAC system is not moving an adequate quantity of air. There are more people in the wings than were anticipated when they were constructed in the late 70s. So we're not meeting what our standard building air movement standards that are established. We have had situations where we've drilled holes in the floors to run cabling, and those create a potential chimney effect, which would allow fire to spread from floor to floor very quickly in the event that there was a fire. The furniture that is in all of the members' offices is mid-70s or even older vintage furniture. It is not up to today's ergonomic standards. The fire sprinkler system is not to code. A lot of these issues are summarized in the letter that you have in front of you. This is a letter from Darwin Doss, who is the architect who has worked on the Capitol for a number of years and is very well aware of the systems in the building. So we started a project. We knew each of these individual problems were out there, and it quickly became apparent that it would be best to tackle all of them at once rather than try to do the plumbing one time and then do the electrical another time. And ultimately, the decision was that it would be best to come in and literally gut the wings and start over from scratch, if you will.
Dave, can I interrupt you just for a moment? I'd be interested to know, is there any expansion of the wings considered here at all, or just simply working within the confines of the present building?
Mr. Chair, we have not looked at any expansion at this point.
All right, thank you.
Okay. We had issues with hearing rooms A through F in addition to the issues in the wings themselves. And we knew that it would be best to stage the renovation project so that we could be as least disruptive as possible when we do the renovation. So in the 2001 session, we got funding approved to issue certificates of participation to proceed with the project. So following special sessions in 2002, we actually came in to hearing rooms A through F and the Galleria, gutted these areas and did the renovations here and installed the infrastructure at that point so that when we got the go-ahead to proceed with the wings themselves, we could take the people who work in the wings during the interim, locate them temporarily in the hearing rooms by setting up cubicles and running phone lines and data lines. So people would still be able to work here in the Capitol while we did the wing projects themselves. So that work was completed in the fall of 2002, and we had funding approved to proceed with the wings, but we needed final e-board approval prior to the 2003 session. By that point, it was clear that the economy had slowed and revenues were not going to be there, so we did not get the approval to proceed following the 2003 session. So we've been on hold since that time.
Will you have to have COPs reauthorized?
Mr. Chair, yes.
Okay.
We will. That authorization either has expired or is expiring, I think, maybe this year. So it will take a new authorization to issue the COPs. As I said, it would be our intention to move the staff that work in the wings into the hearing rooms during the project. That would involve legislative council staff, fiscal and revenue, our information systems staff, and the four caucus offices and the chief clerk's office. So each of those offices would be relocated to hearing rooms or elsewhere in the building while we would proceed with the project. We do believe that the project can be completed in 18 months. It's an aggressive schedule, but it's one that we could accomplish. So obviously it would mean having the legislature finish in a timely manner, hopefully in June or at the very first of July. And then we would ask members to take everything with them when they leave at the close of session, because we would go in, take down all the walls, pardon me, and start over, basically. You have another document in front of you, which is another letter. This one dated 9th of February 2006 from the architect. We asked him the question early this year of, is it physically possible to get the project restarted and ready to go following the 07 session? And the second page of that letter outlines a schedule whereby we could do that. The cost of restarting the project at this point is about $100,000, and that would be to review the plans to get them up to current code, because there have been code changes since they were first developed. And then we would be ready to go out to bid and start construction in July of 2007. It's a difficult schedule, but it's one that should the legislature choose to fund the project and move forward now, we could do so. That is a very high-level thumbnail sketch. I will tell you that the last cost that we had on the project was about $16.9 million. But I will warn you that that number is 3 years old. The cost of steel has gone up tremendously. With all the reconstruction efforts on the Gulf Coast, I'm sure other construction materials have gone up as well. I would hate to hazard a guess on what the cost would be, but I certainly think something in the order of $25 million would not be unreasonable.
I'm sorry, did you say $25 million or $125 million?
25.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Commissioner Wilhelms.
Dave, according to what you just said, then it would appear that we need to get the $100,000 to get the ball rolling. That would be something that should be done by the Z-Board or some other way, but we need to get that rolling. If we decide to move forward with this, that's something we need to do soon.
Correct.
Okay. And then the decision to move forward with the project or not needs to be made early by the legislature. And that would be something that would have to be done by the full legislature. Is that correct?
The authorization for the COPs would have to be done by the full legislature.
So that would have to be early in order for them to do the preliminary work to get started, whatever needs to be done, to get the bidding all taken care of in order for them to start right after Sine Die.
Correct.
So, okay, the only reason I bring that up is it's you know, a lot of the recommendations that are going to come out of the commission are going to be delayed or assumed to be part of the final report. Some of them cannot be, like the one we just made the day before yesterday. This would be another one then that would have to be expedited if we decided to move forward with it. And so, just to set the record straight, I mean, I think we're not looking at voting to do something or not do something and then just put it in a stack until November. We need to, if we choose to do this, along the way, we need to move smartly toward the leadership to get the ball rolling.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Wilhelms, we could actually front the cost, the $100,000 to upgrade the plans, to update the plans. We could front that cost out of our current budget with the understanding that that money would come back at the issuance of the COPs. So that's something that we would not need. If we were assured that we were going to move forward, that $100,000 would be a part of the COP issuance. We could front the cost now, and then DAS has a COP sale scheduled for March of next year. And that's the sale that we would need to be part of. So the legislature that will convene in January of 07 would need to act promptly to approve issuance of COPs for this.
Would we be comfortable with you advancing that $100,000 without having a decision by the legislature in January or February?
Comfortable would not necessarily be the right word to describe how we would feel about that, but it's something we can do. It's physically possible for us to do it. If the legislature then did not authorize the issuance of the COPs, we would obviously have to ask for an additional $100,000 to make up for that money that had been spent. And one danger in that is if the project is not approved to move forward at that point and we get delayed another 2 years, we're going to have to come back and do the same thing all over again. I don't know that it would be $100,000. It might be more, it might be less, to update the plans again at that point.
Sure. Commissioner Krieger.
I've been here 3 sessions, and I've never got out of here till August. And then we had one time, it was 5 special sessions. And with the issues we're going to be dealing with this next session, and the budgetary issues and that again, there needs to be some upfront conversation with the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate and the Governor, whoever that may be, about how are we going to expedite this process and get the people's work done and get out of this building. And that's going to have to be a mindset of everybody, or we're going to be here. So that's going to be, to me, is going to be as big a challenge as the whole construction project.
Thank you. Commissioner Wilhelms.
Sorry, another question, different piece of action. There has been discussion of adding into the WINGS project, or what we refer to as the WINGS project, whatever else needs to be done in the Capitol building with regard to seismic upgrades, governor's office renovation, etc., etc., etc. Would that overcomplicate what we're talking about here? Should that be handled as a separate project? Is there great savings to be made if we do it all at the same time, et cetera? It's obviously a consideration, and it really came, it became more apparent when we made our little field trip up to the state of Washington that maybe, you know, we ought to handle this project that way. But it certainly does make what we've been talking about a lot bigger and more complex.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Wilhelms, what we would suggest and what we are working on right now is an option package for the 07-09 budget that would be for about $500,000 to do the architectural and engineering work on renovating the old portion of the building. So we would suggest keeping them as separate projects, proceeding with the WINGS renovation and doing the prep work necessary for the old part of the building at that same time. So then whether it would be 09-11 or 11-13 that we would come back and say, okay, now we're ready the WINGS are done, they are now up to code, everything is good there, now we're ready to go in and do the same kinds of projects in the old portion of the building.
And that includes seismic upgrades.
Seismic is a separate issue. It could include seismic. But the seismic upgrades, it's a phased project to do the seismic upgrades. The next phase in that would be base isolation, which would involve digging down around all of the columns supporting the building and basically installing giant shock absorbers. And that, as I recall, at the time that it was estimated, which has been now probably 10 or 12 years ago, was $25 million for the base isolation.
One final question.
Oh, sure.
There was a reference made to the possibility of expanding the WINGS. Are the WINGS expandable up?
I'll go.
I'll defer to Herb on that.
Are they expandable at all? I know you could take the basement and do something with the parking area, but now what about going up or going out?
We would have to ask the structural engineer to really answer that question for you. But right now, all the mechanical is on the top level of the wings, and so it would be a massive effort if you were to try and add an office floor and then move the mechanical above that.
I never even thought about expanding the wings until it was mentioned here, but that's a thought, because I'm an advocate of the next item on the agenda.
Chair Wilson?
Yes, Commissioner Garber.
I just had a couple questions I want to get straight in my mind. On the letter from the architects, or maybe I'm missing something here, but it looked like their estimate was $337,000, but the figure that was quoted there was $100,000. So is there an initial $100,000 and then some additional money, or has some of that $337,000 already been paid with the previous work? That's one question. And, my other question was on the COPs, what would that, if we break that down to a biennial cost over the period of the certificates, what would it really mean? I mean, it's a fairly small number, I think, in terms of the whole state budget, and something maybe to keep in mind.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Garber, if you look at the cost estimates, the cost to restart the project would involve the line items of cost estimate update, startup cost estimate, facilities review meetings, specification edits, international building code research, and international building code document edits, and the new energy code review report. It would be the items down to that point.
Mm-hmm.
The bidding would obviously be the next phase.
Okay.
And if you look at page 3 of that letter as well, item number 1 on page 3 discusses the energy code updating that would need to take place. So the $100,000 is a rough estimate of the items down to that line and the items on page 3.
Okay.
And then the additional lines, items on page 2, would be part of the actual bidding and managing the project itself rather than startup costs. I have an estimate that I intentionally didn't share with you because I know it's outdated, of a $20 million COP issuance. And the biennial debt service on a $20 million issuance is about $5.3 million.
Mm-hmm.
So assuming we're actually at $25 million, that's a 25% increase. I'm not a fiscal expert, but I would say your debt service would probably go up something on the order of 25%.
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably looking at $6.5 million, $7 million, something on those lines for a period of 5 biennia.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go back to that, the startup costs again, money required. We've used the figure $100,000 to jumpstart this again and get it moving. And then with that known, and then the legislature being the body that authorizes the new COPs, you know, obviously we've got a situation here where I think we're a little uncomfortable in considering. In that if the legislature doesn't follow through with that, it would be $100,000 wasted. any idea come to mind about, I think it was mentioned that we have a conversation with leadership about this and their commitment to seeing this through. With that said, though, is there anything we can do to mitigate this difficulty?
Just anything we do at this point is going to be a sunk cost. It's going to be a one-time shot.
Mr. Chair, we're not able to highlight anything that could happen. We will definitely have to go through the updating of the plans. That is going to be a cost, whether we proceed now or 2 years or 4 years down the road. The one thing we do know is that construction costs are are going up every year, so the project is only going to get more expensive.
Yeah. So theoretically, the updating of the plans would be a necessary thing to do anyway. I mean, we would have to do that whether this is approved now or 2 years from now or whatever.
That's correct.
So it wouldn't be a pure waste in that sense if the legislature didn't follow through early in 07.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, at some point, that's correct. I need a little more research and get back with you with an answer more specifically to this. But I believe that the part of our issue is that there were substantial changes to the code that normally does not happen in the type of time frames that we're speaking of. So if we address those once, the next time we have to go through this, the changes would, I would not expect the changes to be as great.
I think I'd agree with you. Let me turn to Commissioner Wilhelms. Any thoughts on that yourself?
Well, it's no secret. I've been a strong advocate of this project for years. I would take the gamble. I have difficulty believing that we cannot make a compelling case to the new legislature to get on with this, because of what David just testified to, if nothing else, you're only delaying an increasing cost. It is just not good business to not move forward with this. We can delay it because of political pressures all we want, but you're costing yourself more money. And to me, it doesn't make good sense. So I can give you an emotional pitch to do it, and I'm willing to take the gamble, and my vote will reflect that. However, you know, the legislature is what the legislature is, and we don't know what they're going to do for sure. But I am perfectly happy to be one to go advocate to them for this.
Is it possible, as far as you know at this point, that current leadership is a proponent of this?
I believe that the current leadership, candidly, has not been ready to step forward with this because of economic pressures that they had.
Right.
I do believe that they are now ready to look in more depth into this and are awaiting a recommendation and a study by us with a recommendation. And my feeling is that if we do a good job here, that they will support it.
Thank you. Commissioner Burns.
I bring to this the perspective of coming from the Oregon University System Board and just from being in a role of fiduciary responsibility over a system, these kind of conditions would not be acceptable in any way if this was going on at any of our universities. And there are some university buildings that have some similar circumstances going on, but they always have, you know, their historical value or things like that, and that's the only reason that we would ever not. But just coming from, I know that there are political pressures, but from just the perspective of focusing on having the responsibility over buildings and, you know, long-term stability of the system, this is unacceptable for this to continue. And I understand why they formed us, and this is one of those times when they really need us to come forward and take a hard stance on this, because it just isn't going to look attractive coming from them. And so they really do need our neutral perspective. So I do support this.
Thank you. I'd agree with you there. I think the condition of these two wings is just totally unacceptable. And ultimately, we need to move forward with this.
Chair Wilson.
Yes, Commissioner Garber.
I don't want to go out of turn, but it's hard to tell.
No, it's fine.
Okay. I agree with what you just said, what Commissioner Burns and Commissioner Wilhelm said, and I think that, you know, we've talked about political cover and other things and in terms of the legislators, but one thing to keep in mind is that the building doesn't belong to the legislature. It belongs to the people of Oregon, and if we're not taking care of it, I think that's... I mean, it's shameful, and so, you know, when we talk about $6.5 million out of a $12 billion budget, it's really not a significant amount of money to take care of something that's going to be there long after every legislator who's serving there is long gone. So I think we could make a very strong case, and you know, I believe if the full commission hears what we've heard and endorses it, that I would feel confident that we would get the support of the leadership and the legislators.
Thank you. Yeah, it is an interesting situation, and one that has become more apparent to me over time in the political process, that we tend to let our public buildings go because of politics, because of being afraid to vote to paint our house, so to speak, and make our house look better. But really, it is the people's house. It's a people's investment. And it's just been an interesting observation of mine. It's become more apparent over time how we tend to let public buildings go for those reasons. A couple of things that I wanted to ask here as we move, and that is this commission voted to turn to annual sessions the other day, and we do not know what the legislature will ultimately do with that, but we know what we hope they'll do with that. If they do happen to convert to annual sessions and undertake that early on in the 07 session, would a meeting for 2 months in 2008 have any kind of impact on a remodel project underway? How would that interface?
Mr. Chair, we still would have, the chambers won't be impacted by this, so certainly floor sessions could go on. We still would have hearing rooms 343, 350, 357, and 50, so there would still be four hearing rooms available for committees to do their work. Obviously, with a large construction project going on, it's going to be disruptive. Members would not have private offices at that point. We would have to locate the caucus offices somewhere. So would it be difficult? Yes. But could it be done? Absolutely.
Just the challenge of going camping.
Chair Wilson?
Yes, Commissioner Garber.
Thank you. Commissioner Wilhelm's probably may have a better recollection of this than I would, or Dave or Herb, but you know, I went to Washington, they went through that process too, and if I recall correctly, they moved everybody out of their offices basically and located them somewhere else, and it was a hassle. I think they even held their floor sessions somewhere else during their remodel project, and but it was a temporary thing that that they worked through.
Chair?
Yes.
Maybe the Marion Mr. County Green. Courthouse will be done. We can move in there.
Well, the spirit of fairness is a possibility, I would think. All right.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I believe the Constitution requires you to meet in the Capitol with an OL, not AL.
I see. Okay. Thank you. Let's go back for a moment and talk about the main building remodel. So we want to look at that as a separate package.
Yes.
We need to do that. You know, it's one of those things that we have to look at in this committee as well. Let me ask you, what kind of action should we consider on that? Are we going to ultimately, and let me ask staff, are we ultimately going to come up with a proposal on that as well, separate from this?
I'm sorry, which one?
The proposal to deal with the main building, the original Capitol.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you can certainly make a separate motion on the main building and the wings. I think it's probably in your best interest to just cover all remodeling. Mm-hmm. You're certainly not limited to what is contained in a particular proposal. Okay. If you find that there's a need, certainly do it.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Well, if there are no questions about the wing remodel at this point, let's talk for a moment about Proposal 144, since we're under a public hearing there as well, building a new office building. Bring me up to speed, someone, if you would, on the idea there. And I think, Commissioner Wilhelms, this is something you stated is something that you're interested in talking about. And I'm not sure if the proposal idea came from you, but let me toss that to you for a moment and ask you, where do you want to go with this discussion?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is this the proposal that I made?
All right.
Good. I am an advocate for this, and I know the environment that we're sitting in and the likelihood of this moving forward. However, I would only ask people to go back and look at history, including the history of constructing the Capitol wings. I happened to be here at the time, and I know it was controversial at the time. It was going to destroy state government. It was going to cost too much money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. People still have pretty strong opinions about it that were around here then. The fact of the matter is,
We probably did need the space, and it has been, I think, put to pretty good use over the past 30 years or 25 years, whatever it's been. So I'm kind of fast-forwarding to, let's look at, say, 2020. Those of us who have been working in the building are very much aware that there's pressure from the Treasurer's Office, the Secretary of State's Office, the Governor's Office, the Oregon State Capital Foundation, which is now looking at a history center, many of the legislative offices, including council, I believe fiscal and revenue, all are looking at needing more space. And we all know the glib comments that we can make and have made probably about, well, whatever space you give government, it'll grow into it. You can just count on that. And I believe that. Fact of the matter is that time goes on. The population of the state increases. Issues get more complicated. All kinds of government grows. Yes, indeed. That's because it just probably has to. Maybe not as exponentially as it has, but it does need to grow. So how do we house our government folks and functions? Do we lease space and spend more money? Do we construct our own buildings? That's a separate debate, and I'm not going to get into that because I know there are two sides and you can advocate for both. I personally believe that we should at least explore the construction of an office building. We can point to a lot of other state capitals, the one to the north being one, that has separate office buildings. There are a number of them. I think Nevada does. I think California does. Many states do, and it's probably all for the same reasons. We have an opportunity. Now there's this corner sitting over here. It used to be the Bellinger Brothers service station, which I don't even know what's going on over there now, but I know there's a big for lease or for sale sign or something on it. And it's in close proximity to the Capitol. It's on the mall. It's, tunnel could be built. All those little logistical arguments could be made that it's a logical place to go. But the discussion ought to be around cost and the return on the investment of the taxpayers of the state of Oregon. And it just seems to me if we don't step up and take a look at it, at least now, that we are once again not being responsible, because ultimately we're going to be constructing or leasing more office space somewhere. We've got great competition going on right now, or about to go on, between the governor and the governor's office, who is a guest in the building, and the legislature for space that's available. There are legislative interests that keep eyeing 10 this space over here, and whenever we do that, the tension level grows dramatically between the governor's office staff and the legislature staff. But the fact is, we're looking at it, and they're defending it, and I don't blame them. They want to be in as close a proximity to the governor's office as they can be. But it's just one of the little problems that exists over the competition for space, and I believe, when you sit down and think objectively about it, the obvious growth in need for space. Now, we can argue about how much that is, where it should be, how it should be provided. Fine. That's not my concern right now. My concern is to take a look at what it would cost to build an office building. When I first thought of it, I thought, well, if we're going to spend $20 million to remodel the Capitol Rings, how much does it cost to build an office building? I don't know the answer to that, but I would think that you could build a pretty good office building for $20 million. But I don't know the answer to that, and would like to get the answer. So, Mr. Chair, without further appeal, it's more an interest in exploring the possibility, checking out what the cost would be, what's the most efficient way to spend our money to get the space that we're obviously going to need in the intermediate future.
I'd have to say I'm surprised if that property indeed was for sale, essentially right across from the state capitol, that it hasn't been purchased by the state of Oregon. You know, they're not manufacturing this kind of stuff, and so I'm wondering.
Mr. Chair, we met with the Department of Administrative Services a few years ago about that property and some other property in the area, and at that time I believe there was discussion of at least purchasing an option to purchase the property, but I don't know the current status of that.
Okay, thank you. I would I would certainly think that would be of interest any time property comes available. Essentially, it's right across the street from the Capitol. That, given future growth needs, that it wouldn't be snapped up, you know, pretty quickly. Any other thoughts on proposal 144, building a new office building?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please, Commissioner Garber.
Commissioner Wells, what specifically are we saying that we should appropriate? Or the legislature should appropriate money to investigate this, or I guess I'm looking for, if we're going to give them a recommendation, what specifically are we saying?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Garber, I would have to defer to staff. I don't know what it would take to get an analysis or estimates and so forth. I don't know if that would involve an expense to us or... But I suppose it would, but maybe DAS has the ability to step up and do that within their own organization. But if it would cost a reasonable amount of money to get a thorough investigation and report back to do it, I would certainly support the expenditure, personally. But at this point, I have not quantified an amount of money to go along with this. But, and my recommendation wouldn't be that we run out and build an office building. My recommendation would be that we look into the feasibility of it and what the expense would be and what kind of a return we could expect based upon projections of the space needed in the future around here by all of the entities that are involved. And there are many.
Well, I think without a doubt that more land is going to be needed for more buildings in time, whether it's now or in the future, but I think it's inevitable it will be needed. So I would like to perhaps ask staff to investigate that process for us, maybe next time we gather on this, to pull in the certified smart on this subject and find out what their plan is for the future as far as growth of the Capitol Mall, in the Capitol Mall area here. Okay. Any other comments on that proposal, 144, building a new office building, or, frankly, going back to 033 facilities evaluation?
Well, Mr. Chairman, do we need, with regard to the Capitol Inns expansion, are we ready to make a motion, pass a motion out of this committee?
As far as I'm concerned, I could certainly do that. I haven't pulled a committee to find out if the rest are interested in doing such a thing, but I would certainly be willing to go that direction if time is of the essence that we do it today.
Chair, are we talking about a renovation or expansion of the Capitol Wing?
Well, if we did it today, I would expect that we're talking simply about the renovation.
That would be my understanding.
Okay. I don't think that's what you said.
Well, that's what I meant. The expansion was something that just came up today. About the wings. I don't know about expansion of the wings. Obviously, if you're talking about the possibility of building an office building, or can we expand our own wings somewhat, well, you'd have to look at both and compare the costs. But that wasn't on my radar screen until today.
I expect our next facilities meeting will be in June, and the I think next full commission meeting, or the full commission meeting after that June meeting of facilities, would be looks like August, middle August, something like that. So let me ask, is there any time pressure here? Is there advantage of moving this today, or should we, in the mood of the committee, wait for our next facilities committee in the month of June to take care of this business?
Mr. Chair, we're going to have to take care of it. I think we know what the problem is. You see the pipe, we've been told this has been on hold for what? That's 2001? Part of this?
It was initially approved in 2001 and went on hold at the end of 2002.
The sooner we get it done, the better. And if you get to a situation where you're actually, let's say we go to annual session, this is going to be worse trying to do it. So it needs to be done before we ever made that move, if that should happen. So I'm all in favor of moving ahead with it now and making that recommendation.
All right. Commissioner Burns, I take it that you're in that same position.
Mm-hmm. I don't see any point in putting it off, and I think that once we move on from this issue, it can you know, alter the other decisions that we make. We can start doing so in under the assumption that we're shooting for this, but also helps it get onto the radar of the full commission, and we can move on to more important issues.
Thank you. Commissioner Garber, are you feeling the same way today?
Well, I definitely support a strong recommendation in favor of the renovation. What I'm wondering is, you know, in terms of if we're going to push that forward, and I think we should push it forward if possible, it's under the May agenda, the full commission. I would want us to be prepared with full documentation, just as the process committee came in with quite a bit of background on the annual session topic, that we would be able to come in with all of that information, and I wonder who's going to prepare that and present it, but I think that we should do that.
Thank you. We have a logical candidate here, but otherwise known as staff. Ms. Taylor will work on that, but certainly in conjunction with Herb and Dave on this whole thing. So we will come in well armed for that. I will ask Marjorie to begin crafting a proposal here for us. And let me ask Kelly, are we under work session here?
Yes.
I can't remember how I opened up. I think I opened it up as a public hearing and possible work session.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure of that. All right. Marjorie is crafting a proposal here for us, and we'll float that as soon as she is ready.
Well, let's just think out loud.
Sure.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, perhaps the committee could recommend to the commission that they recommend to the Legislative Assembly that they move forward in spending the money to update the wing renovation plan as was previously developed, and continue to look into funding for that project. I would assume that you would ask Legislative Administration whether there was anything else we would need to add to that sort of motion.
Mm-hmm. Let's do that.
Mr. Chair, the only thing that you might want to add would be the timeline to move forward to begin construction following the 07 session.
Sure.
At the end of July.
June? I'd love to be home this summer.
Commissioner Wilhelm.
So when somebody asks us, or you, either one of you, yeah, well, okay, good. I believe in this project. So what is it? What does it do? Do we have wainscoting on the walls and leather couches, or do we have something else? How do we respond to what the details of this renovation might be, since it goes beyond just basic infrastructure and talks about furniture and fixtures and decor, et cetera?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Wilhelms, to get to the plumbing, the electrical, and all the infrastructure, we have to tear out walls and ceilings and floors, you know, tear up carpet and do things like that to get to the infrastructure, which is what is truly driving this project. Now, it is not cost effective to try to preserve the existing furnishings and things of that nature. So the plan does include replacement of furniture, replacement of carpet, replacement of ceilings, and things that may be deemed of a cosmetic nature. But in fact, it's the only cost-effective way to do the needed work is to tear out the existing furnishings and things of that nature. So yes, it does involve new carpet, new wall coverings, things of that nature, and taking out the existing offices for all 90 legislators and building new walls and everything. Really, it will be a shell. We'll gut the building to the point of being a shell and then rebuild at that point.
Is the discipline on the project the maximum amount of the COPs then?
Yes.
I mean, fiscal discipline.
It would be,
discipline.
Yes. Yes,
you can't exceed whatever is authorized by the legislature.
That's correct.
Or the COPs.
That's correct.
Mr. Chair?
Commissioner Krieger.
As far as furnishings in offices in this room, other places, you know, I've looked at a lot of it, and I wouldn't even think of buying it in a second-hand store at a garage sale. And I don't think if you gathered all of it up and put it all out there on the lawn and held a big sale, if you got a couple $1,000 for the whole works, you'd be lucky. In fact, it may cost you more than that to get it hauled off. Because a lot of it, it's just, you know, like when I got here, I kind of chuckled to myself. I said, my kids got better stuff in the playhouse, you know.
That's very accurate.
We don't want to, like Mr. Wilhelm said, we don't need to have great big leather this and, you know, and spend people's money foolishly. But it needs to be newer, functional furnishings, you know.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Krieger, we had a design group that included the leadership offices, the desks, legislative administration, the architect, and an interior designer that has looked at fabrics and colors and things of that nature and arrived at some decisions, which when you consider that size of group arriving at decisions that everyone could support, it was a pretty interesting process. But clearly we did not go into that with the attitude of going for the nicest, fanciest, most expensive. It was an approach that we wanted something that was certainly was nice and would look nice and would last and be timeless, unlike the green and orange carpet and purple sofas that are here right now. So we did go in with the intention of doing it in a way that 20 years from now people wouldn't look at it and say, oh my God, what were they thinking?
I don't think we should be hasty to write off leather couches and wainscoting either, by the way. I think they may be a pragmatic enhancement to have.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Wilhelms, in fact, if you look at the cost of maintaining fabric sofas and things of that nature, a very strong case can be made for the leather.
Okay, unless Marjorie has something that is more cogent than this, I would propose something along this line, and let's craft this as we go. We would propose that legislative administration commit the necessary expenditures immediately to update construction plans on the wings and to urge the 2007 legislature to approve necessary expenditures to remodel the House and Senate wings as soon as possible. That's just kind of a bare bones thing right now. Anyway, we should smooth that in your opinion.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Krieger.
I think you and I and everyone here that hears this today and see these pipes understand it. People that don't see it and don't hear it are going to look like we're spending money in a frivolous manner. So we need to make sure that as this moves forward, that we're talking about getting back to code and what the water conditions are and the power conditions and the danger that's in the building and the sprinkler system that, you know, fire could burn the whole place down. Mm-hmm. So that needs to be emphasized in news releases and everything, because we're not doing something just because we want to spend money. This is infrastructure for the people's building, and we need to take care of it.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, we certainly have, seems to be, the documentation and the ability to write the words we need to dress that up in any way we need to prepare a document that would respond to those kind of claims and questions.
Yeah.
We can always supply them a cup of water.
I think we'll have no problem making a case for this. Filthy water, dangerous wiring conditions. No one would want anyone to work in that kind of environment. You look at that filthy water, and that's just about enough right there. And those of us who've lived and worked in the wings know that this is not ginned up for this for this particular presentation.
Oh, Chair Wilson?
Yes, Commissioner Garber.
In terms of your motion, earlier in the conversation, I think we said that perhaps the $100,000 can be allocated by the E-Board. Is that what you're intending in your motion, or are you thinking that it would be allocated by the full legislature in January?
I doubt the latter, but Dave, let me ask you, again readdressing the e-board's responsibility with this $100,000 expenditure. Now, you've already got that within your existing budget. You can expend now, I understand, but you would need to have that replenished.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, our facilities budget is large enough that if we proceed with this and we make expenditures up to $100,000, we've got cash available to cover that. At some point, it would need to be basically we're front end loading it,
right.
Paying it out of our existing money, and when the COPs would be issued, we would backfill that $100,000.
Okay, gotcha.
That would be certainly preferable to taking it to the e-board.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right.
So, excuse me, within the context of the motion, that should, and maybe it was there, I missed it, but should we actually just say that within the, you know, legislative bodies or the facility department's existing budget that we would recommend that they go ahead and proceed with that? Yeah. Is that what we're saying?
I think I would recommend that. Dave, it sound good to you?
We'd be fine with that.
Yeah. Okay. Marjorie, you keeping up with this?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I believe then the beginning of your motion would say within the legislative administration budget, spend the money to update the renovation plan for the wings.
Mm-hmm.
And then part two would be encourage the legislature to seek funding to implement the renovation plan and to begin the renovation in summer of 2007. Does that touch on all three pieces?
Yeah, let's make sure we're urging the 2007 legislature. I want to do that just to make sure we have that in there. We'll let you craft that a little bit and then run that by us again.
And there was language in there about doing it ASAP, as soon as possible during the session. Expeditiously or whatever, something
to meet the March COP sale.
It would be time sensitive because of that, yes.
Chair Wilson.
Commissioner Garber.
We could also put in there that that they should commence the project on June 30th, and that way some of us will win the argument that we lost earlier in the week.
Very clever, Commissioner.
Well, that's probably better than to try and stop per diem.
May well be. Marjorie, let us know when you have that, Smith.
Okay. The committee recommends to the commission that they recommend that within the legislative administration budget, they spend money to update the renovation plan for the wings, that they urge the 2007 Legislative Assembly to seek funding to implement that renovation plan and to do so within a timely manner and hopefully participate within the March 2007 COP sale, and that the project begin as soon as possible, no later than summer 2007.
I'd say with the goal to meet the March 2007 COP sale.
Strike, hopefully.
Yeah. All right.
Yes, thanks.
All right.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chair, I so move.
Moved by Commissioner Wilhelms. Any further discussion? All right. Kelly, if you'll call the roll, please.
Burns? Aye. Barber?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Sheriff Ramirez, excused. Wilhelms?
Aye.
Chair Wilson?
Votes aye. And motion carries. And we will close the public hearing and work session on proposals 033 and 144. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. I'll make some boxes up so you can start packing.
I'd love to be able to spend this summer home.
This is yours.
Okay, we will stand in recess for 5 minutes. Please don't wander off, because 5 minutes will be 5 minutes in this case. Okay. We will open a public hearing and possible work session on proposal number 134, and that is review the use and necessity of a House and Senate lounges. And for that, we will have Ramona and Judy step forward here. If you'd kindly state your names for the record, please.
My
My name is Ramona Kennedy, and I'm Chief Clerk of the Oregon House of Representatives. Judy Hall, Secretary of the Senate.
Thank you. This proposal has been suggested by someone and has landed in this committee, and that is review of the use and necessity of the House and Senate lounges. I'm not exactly sure why that proposal is before us, but be that as it may, let's talk about that. And what is the current status, and how effective and used are they?
Mr. Chair, Judy Hall, I did a little research with my caucus offices before this. We're ready to say that probably we would just maintain status quo, even though one-third of the Senate members do not participate in the lounge. The reasons vary. It comes down under the category, if you can't please all the people all the time. They cited such things as dietary issues. Some people want more protein. Some want more carbs. You can't, you know, when you're fixing for a large group of people. And the other issue was they pay for it every day, but sometimes their schedule doesn't allow. They may go a couple of weeks where they can't even go to the lounge, but we can't do a pay-as-you-go because then we can't plan. So I think we just feel that status quo is fine. Two-thirds are using the lounge.
You know, one thing we should do for those listening on the Internet, watching on TV, is to describe the service. You know, the word lounge has a number of connotations.
Yeah.
And so we should probably go ahead and define for those listening today what the lounge is and what services are offered. Ramona?
Go ahead.
Either
yeah,
one.
Go ahead. Mr. Chair, Ramona Kennedy again, Chief Clerk of the House. The House Lounge has been in existence since I can remember, and that would be back to 1957. It's a long-standing service that has been provided to the members, but I think that it needs to be clearly understood that the service is paid for by the members. They are charged a weekly fee for this access to this facility. I would qualify that to say is that we do, in the general fund budget, in the legislative budget, pay for the staff and obviously the facility. But all of the food preparations and over time, any updates and additional equipment that we've needed in the lounge have been paid out of the per diem that's withheld from the members' accounts, or from their personal per diem accounts. What the service is that there is a continental breakfast, I would say, available to the members where that they can come to the lounge. And I'd like to also state under House and Senate rules, the lounge is only made available to the members. No one else has access to that area within the Capitol building. So it's a place where they can go and get a continental breakfast in the morning. It's open about 5:30 a.m. And sometimes, I mean, it's open all the time, but we have staff on board about 5:30 a.m. And they can get, you know, cold cereals, you know, rolls, juices, coffee, etc. There is a lunch provided during the noon hour, whenever we recess off the floor or adjourn off the floor daily. And that is typically a access to a salad bar, soups, and then a main entree. And then any leftovers from that lunch is packaged up and put into the refrigerators for members who have evening meetings or who are actually working late in the Capitol can come back to that lounge and pick up a meal. So that's basically the service that is offered. And again, it's beyond the access to what I would say and the current staff that has been hired over the last couple sessions have taken great gone to great lengths to meet almost everybody's dietary needs if they can. Okay, and in the House side, I would suggest that we have full participation except for maybe a couple members who do not participate. And it's been managed very, very well. We are very, very lucky to have a person who has come back now two sessions to manage this. She's a professional chef, and she brings with her two assistants who are very professional. With that, Mr. Chair, I would suggest that it's a place where, number one, the members have a place within the Capitol building where they can go network just with the members, sit around a lunch table and sort of have that opportunity where they don't necessarily within committee or on the floor and spend a few minutes with each other. We've talked a lot in the other commission meetings about what kind of things can we do to break down partisanship and provide for better communication and networking with each the members themselves across party lines, across chamber lines. And I would suggest the House Lounge provides that, and probably is the only thing that daily provides that kind of communication. And in addition, it's a place where that when we get pushed and our members are booked from early morning, as you probably remember, with constituent meetings and or other meetings going into committee meetings, usually about 8 a.m., coming to the floor, you may get off the floor at 12:30 and have to be back into committee by 1 or 1:30. This is an opportunity where you can get a meal within the confines of this building and get back to doing the work of the Legislative Assembly. So that gives you a little history about the lounges. And, you know, the participation on the Senate side is, you know, still keeps us within budget, and I think Judy brought those numbers with you. The good news for the House is because we have full participation, and we manage it so very well, we ended with a cash balance of other funds. This is monies that are members' monies, and I probably shouldn't say this publicly because I don't plan to recommend that we lower the weekly rate. But given the good management of the lounge last session, we ended up with a cash balance of $16,000 in other funds. I would suggest some of those monies should be used to update the facility within the lounge because we're cooking on and using dishwashers older than some of the staff in this building. That wouldn't be me. And we also were able to budget within the salaries to have a small balance within that. Because what we've done is we've used the chef to both cook for the House and the Senate, and then we hire an assistant in each chamber to actually be full-time in the kitchen to assist the members.
Thank you. Yes, Judy, I gather like a full third of the senators are not enrolled in that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back and address that. I mean, proportionally speaking, that's significant.
Mr. Chair, I did talk with both caucus offices and the reasons that I was giving you, some of the dietary issues, and I would say that most of them are House members that came over to the Senate, so it might have something to do with they've tried it. I think when members come to the House, they're brand new. They feel like they need to do this. By the time they, can I say, graduate to the Senate, they have different ideas. They have fuller schedules. Senators tend to be probably they have so many more committee assignments that their time is limited, and a lot of their things are scheduled over the noon hour. So they're either going to lunch or their staff is getting them lunch, something like that. They don't seem to be quite as interested as the House.
Okay, thank you.
I thought it was because they were older and more fragile and needed more fiber.
No comment.
All right, since we're talking as a committee about the use and necessity of these lounges, any questions from committee members?
I do, if yes. No one else does.
Yes, Commissioner Garber.
I'm just curious what the motivation for this proposal coming forward was, and maybe no one really knows, but did it come from a member of the public or a legislative watchdog who felt that having these lounges sort of promoted a insular, exclusive environment, or did it come from, you know, legislators who would rather have bagels instead of donuts? I mean, you know, I'm not really sure what the motivation behind it is.
Yeah, thank you. Let me pull the committee right quick. Any idea on this?
Mr. Chairman, I thought it was proposed because someone thought that maybe we didn't need the lounge. I thought that's why it was proposed. I don't know all of the.
We don't know where it came from.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is yet another one of those proposals that has been submitted without a lot of backing or indication why or what. Right. It's just something to consider.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Mr. Krieger.
Ramona, you've really covered it, I think, exceptionally well. I didn't want to spend any time in there. It is a place to get away sometimes because, you know, a lot of us were away from home for a long time and you just need a place to go and sit down. And one thing that it does, I think, maybe more last session, starting to develop is this bipartisan. You don't see Democrats and Republicans sitting at different tables. We're sitting together, we're talking, and I think that is exceptionally good for the process that we have here. I did use the facility, I think, my first two sessions. Last session I didn't, mainly because half the time I couldn't get there for lunch because I was so busy. I just didn't have time. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't really serve a real good purpose here. And it is not an expense to the public to any degree at all. So I like the process as it is now.
Thank you. Any further?
Oh, just
Mr. Wilhelms.
I can't really expand on what Ramona and Judy have said, except that as the co-chair of the full commission, part of our charge is to deal with efficiency of the legislature, which I believe the lounge contributes to the efficiency of the legislature. Members, for example, not having to go outside the building to get a lunch or whatever, being able to get lunch and take it back to their office and continue with a noon meeting, et cetera, however you want to look at it. And the second part is that which Representative Krieger has referred to, one of our charges was to try to deal with the excessive partisanship that we all hear criticized so often these days. And it's very true. In the lounge, D's and R's are sitting together talking, and sometimes they're talking about issues, and sometimes they're talking about family, but it doesn't make any difference. They are bonding, and it creates relationships that help with the deliberation on the issues. So I think that the existence of the lounge structure that we have contributes directly to dealing with supporting two of the things that we're supposed to be doing in the full commission.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Commissioner Burns.
Would it be adequate to say that this proposal, considering it was asking us to review the use, and we've reviewed it, and perhaps I think we've come to a conclusion that it's necessary that we could either table this or just move on, or do we just vote it down, or what is the proper action?
Yes, we'll just make a motion and take no further action on it, I suspect. Ramona?
Yeah, I would like to take this opportunity, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, that I do believe, and since this is the facilities subcommittee, that the lounge on the Senate side, and I can't speak for Judy, just been there, needs some upgrading in just the facility itself, as does the House lounge. I know for a fact that the House lounge has not had any kind of updates to any of the kitchen the stoves, the dishwashers, the preparation area for probably close to since 1983. That's a long time. It's about 20, I don't know how many of you live in a home that you haven't you've lived that long and haven't updated, particularly if you're serving meals and trying to meet all the codes necessary in serving meals. But in addition to that, just the area that where we have the tables and the chairs and the spaces for the members to actually eat their meals is in dire need of a look. And I'm doing that on behalf of the House right now in hopes to make a recommendation to leadership. But I do think that might be something that, as the facilities, as we talk about, moving forward on the Wings Project, maybe doing some things with the old building that clearly the lounges need to have some consideration under those kind of upgrades.
Judy?
I'd also like to speak in support of that. I think the Senate lounge has gone a lot longer than the House as far as we still have our orange carpeting with our orange tables, as much of the Senate decor is. It's a great place for a Halloween party, just throw black confetti around, and it's wonderful. In fact, the press a few years ago described the Senate lounge as garish. And maybe that's the reason one-third don't want to be there. I don't know. But the actual kitchen facilities have not been upgraded. Everything is prepared over on the House side and transported to the Senate side. And I've heard from a few of my members, they feel rather second class because of the way that is. They would like to have their own functioning lounge, but we do understand the economics also. But if we are going to move toward upgrading the wings, this would be another spot that would be I'd like to put on there, put on your list.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Burns.
One last question. I don't know if you said this. What is the fee per day? Remember?
$7.50. It's $35 a week.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. And again, for members, if you can divide that by five, those who spend all weekend here, you could divide that by seven.
Yeah.
But it's a weekly charge of $35 a week.
And what are the hours?
The lounge is open 24/7.
Oh, okay.
By access with their keys. However, staff comes in usually between 5 and 5:30 in the morning, prep work for the noon hour, and then they leave usually around 1 or 2 in the afternoon as soon as the meals are served. However, when, like in this building, like all staff, when we go into long hours, they stay. And they work weekends, and we don't compensate them for that. That's just straight salary.
All right, thank you. It would be my recommendation to the committee today that we vote to take no further action on this. I think these lounges serve a fine purpose. Being a veteran of this place, I can tell you what I've heard today is true, and I certainly vouch for that. So if I have your backing in that, I think what we'll do is have Kelly call a roll. And again, the motion is that we take no further action on proposal 134. Okay, Kelly.
Burns?
Aye.
Garber?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Sheriff
O'Meara
is excused. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Chair Wilson?
Votes aye. And motion is carried. We will close the public hearing and possible work session on proposal 134. We will open a public hearing and possible work session on proposal 008, paperless floor sessions. Marjorie, let me ask you just to give us a background on this proposal and where we come from and where we are now.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if you'll remember, several months ago, we did have a really significant conversation with Judy and Ramona about paperless floor sessions, as we were also talking about wireless technology in the building. And at that time, we did talk a little bit about the possibility of consoles or laptops on the floor, or just the general concept of having floor sessions be paperless with these, you know, giant stacks of bills at members' desks. I think we heard from Judy and Ramona that there's probably no way that floor sessions will ever be paperless, and the technology is certainly changing. Maybe now might not be the time to switch to paperless technology, but certainly as wireless is implemented in the building, things might be changing on the floor. And if you'll remember, part of our recommendation on wireless technology was to encourage the presiding officers and leadership to develop rules for use of wireless technology. And so that would probably also cover the floors.
Okay, thank you. My feeling is it's going to go the way it's going to go as a result of moving toward wireless. But with that said, I want to open it back up again to Judy and Ramona. And again, if you'd state your name for the record and just any thoughts that you have on this.
Go ahead.
I don't anticipate a very long discourse here.
Okay. Again, my name is Ramona Kennedy, and I'm Chief Clerk of the House. My office has done some pretty extensive research on this subject, not this interim, but last interim, in that we were looking at the dollars spent, and again, that was when we were having to cut our budgets, and where could we find some extra dollars? And there was the thought that, you know, given the fact that we typically will print 900 copies of every single measure as they're introduced, not just for the members but for the general public and under other interested parties, that might be a way for us to cut down on all that paper. The members also receive massive amounts of information as we move the bills through the process, everything from committee records, including staff measure summaries, fiscal revenue impact statements, what's coming up for first reading, what's coming up for third reading, you know, what are those, what is a synopsis of each one of those third read bills, and the paper just grows. And so we took a hard look at whether or not it made sense to go
on-demand printing. And we came to the conclusion that that would be a good interim stage. And I know we're talking about paperless here, but I do think that a step towards that potentially is to go on-demand printing. And again, with the beefing up of our website, putting a lot of the information out there, both through the intranet and through the internet, you know, members could have their staffs then, if they want that hard copy, to download and print within their own personal offices those papers they need. But again, the Constitution and House rules require that we keep original bill folders, that we keep original documents for archiving. And some members are going to want to be able to pick up that piece of paper as opposed to maybe look at a laptop when they're trying to figure out what section are we talking about, and they're going to be looking to staff to support them, particularly committee staff, as they get those questions on the floor, and to be hovering around, and ultimately maybe we get there, a video screen to look at all of that so that they can get the support they need in those questions and or in carrying the bills, doesn't seem practical to me at this point in time. Given that, I would suggest that the committee might want to look at, you know, or maybe give charge to a look at on-demand printing, both out of the distribution center downstairs for the public to order up a bill, and to provide an easier way for the members to do on-demand printing within their personal offices of data that they need.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Judy?
I think Ramona's got a really good idea as far as printing on demand. I'm not against the paperless type thing, but I do also recognize it's not ever realistically going to be paperless, because some of us still like that piece of paper, that hard copy. I do think it would be much more organized on the floor if we had some type of an electronic, whether it be a console, whether it be a laptop, that could be operated by the desks, and if they wanted that copy, that we could print that on demand for them. And I think we're moving in that particular direction. But I agree with Ramona also as far as taking incremental steps in getting there. I don't think we need to go as far as, you know, it seems like we've got a lot of things hitting us right now with the commission meeting. So I think it would be better to do maybe look at the printing on demand first.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Krieger.
I'm not a high-tech guy to start with, so maybe I'll be gone before that happens. But if you look, we have bill files now. And in those bill files, you have correspondence from two or three people to ten. So you're still going to have a bill file of correspondence that you may want to be referencing, which is still going to be on your desk. You know, eventually, I can understand where you're trying to go, but I don't think you're ever going to get away from, you know, when I go home, I got a pile of bills this high. Yeah, I could sit in my fifth wheel, take my computer home, and go through them. But I like to have it where I can go through and back and forth. I think I could actually do it faster than you can do it on getting it up and back and page to page on a screen. So, you know, I recently went into a motel with my wife to check in. 15 minutes because of the computer. You used to be able to do it two or three by writing it out and having you sit and you're out the door. You're backed up. I mean, it's far more time consuming to do it on a computer, checking people into a motel, in and out, than it is the old system. Remember, you used to write down your name, address, and license number, what, 15, 20 seconds? They tore it off, you paid them. Now, you stand there for 20 minutes while I wait in this thing to click, 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 you know.
Anyone else?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Wilhelms.
I would admit to being a technological Neanderthal in some cases. However, because of service on this commission and the trip to Olympia and discussions that I've had, I've come to believe, I believe as maybe you just stated, Mr. Chair, you're not going to stop technology, and as a matter of fact, we ought to encourage technology, but we shouldn't force technology on people that don't want to use it necessarily, especially when they're the policymakers of the state. Therefore, I believe that this committee and the commission does need to put forth a recommendation or a statement of support for
advancing the use of technology in the legislative branch, but to the extent where we look at on-demand printing, the use of the electronic bill book or similar type of system like they have up in Washington, those cases where we can use technology to increase our efficiency and our accuracy in the process. I believe that the other thing that I've come to realize is that the discipline on the use of that technology really does lie with the members of the legislature and their rules. You can't, for example, the vision of people playing games on the floor of the House on their laptop, for example, which I don't think is going to happen, but it could. That could certainly be dealt with through the rules of the House and the Senate. Therefore, it just seems to me that we need to quit arguing about whether it ought to be paperless or we ought to use technology or not, and accept the fact that we're going to advance the use of technology, and whatever discipline is going to be placed on its use is up to the control of the members of the legislature, who can do that very efficiently through their rules. And so I hope that before we complete our deliberations on this item, be that today or later, that we do write or we do pass a recommendation that will find its way into our final report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Other comments, questions?
Right. I can make a comment.
Yes, Commissioner Garber.
My thinking on this really changed 180 degrees from originally I thought that the idea of going totally paperless and especially the idea of members having laptops on the floor, you know, would just be a huge distraction. And after visiting Washington and seeing how things work there, and also my brother is a reporter for the Seattle Times, and he covers the Washington legislature, and I quizzed him about it a little bit and said, you know, is it a distraction? Does it, you know, affect the decorum of the bodies? And you know, he doesn't see that at all, and the other people that we talked to in Washington didn't seem to think that either. So I think this is, as Commissioner Wilhelm said, one sort of recommendation about this whole technology issue, and I guess I would agree that a more general statement that we don't think that the legislature should be afraid of that, and that you know, that can be handled by rules that govern how people use computers on the floor and that sort of thing. Whether we would say we ought to go totally paperless may not be realistic, but the, you know, just encouraging the use of the technology.
Thank you. Commissioner Burns.
Now, I grew up in a totally different generation where computers are everywhere, and that's something I'm probably addicted to being online. And I do understand that there are possible problems brought about by going completely wireless or paperless. But I do think that the legislature needs us to send a strong message of support for this. And I think that, if nothing else, just something to the effect of that it's inhibiting the progress or the efficiency. I think in the end, ultimately, this should be a goal that we have. And, yeah, I think that technology evolves too quickly for us to necessarily adopt this right now. But I do think that, I mean, when's the next time they're going to have a commission like us? And I highly doubt that they would come up with this on their own. Like, knowing the legislature, I think that they will always be concerned about coming across as, well, we all got laptops and it's pretty sweet, you know. I think that that's a concern. I do think that's something that we ought to support. Although, when talking to staff members, the number one statement I've heard is, make sure they're hardwired to the desk because they'll lose them. So, which I find really humorous, considering these are, you know, elected officials. We look up to you, but think you're going to lose them. But so I do think that we have to send the message of support that transitioning to on-demand printing is critical, and then ultimately revisit in the next 5 years the possibility of having some kind of technology incorporated into the floor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't think you.
All right, I've got something crafted here by Marjorie that I'm going to run by you and be thoughtful with it as we pass this on, perhaps today. And the recommendation is that we, as a committee, recommend that the legislature use technology to the best of its ability to expedite the legislative process, develop rules to address use of technology in committee meetings and on the floor. Any crafting of that, any fine-tuning of that that you like, or is that broad and generic enough to but yet get our point across? All right. Well, I think I'll go ahead and make that motion then, and let's clarify it again to be this way. We recommend that the legislature use technology to the best of its ability to expedite the legislative process, develop rules to address the use of technology in committee meetings and on the floor.
Chair Wilson?
Yes. Commissioner Garber.
Woodley Watson included a statement in there that would say something to the effect of up to and including computers on the floor so that we're clear that, you know, We're not afraid of that particular topic.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's good because otherwise it's kind of sending the message that, you know, don't fear technology. And I think that our message is you ought to embrace it, but embrace it slowly and do it in a strategic way that will, you know, enable the process and not inhibit it.
Okay. All right. We'll further craft this for a moment.
Mr. Chair? Can you get a second?
Ramona?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I would like to just suggest that I think individuals think of computers on the floor as potential a laptop. I think that with technology on the floor, whether it be a console, whether it be a hardwired computer, gives some flexibility without trying to read intent into what the commission might be thinking, number one. And number two, I would strongly recommend that you put in there that an immediate look at on-demand printing, because my concern is that it is very high-level recommendation, and having been here for a long time, looking at technology means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, and I'm afraid that without some specifics within the proposal that they may think that that's something with the voting system as opposed to actually putting laptops on the floor as opposed to maybe doing some intermediate steps with on-demand printing and or putting consoles on the floor, which actually pushes information to the members. As in, I know in Florida what they do is they don't have laptops. They push the information to the floor as the bills are called up, excuse me, for consideration. So you have access very easily to all of the background data that you need. And again, most of these legislatures amend on the floor, and so therefore they get copies of those amendments as they're made on the floor.
Sure.
Commissioner Wilhelms.
Ramona, is that Florida system the one that has the device on the desks that's a read-only? Or no, maybe it's not a read-only, but it's not a laptop. But it is a screen that brings up the information.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Florida has tried to, I'm very good friends with the clerk of the House there, and, you know, they sort of envy us in that we don't amend on the floor. What they have done, because they still do, is they have put some intermediate steps in where that those amendments, if a member is going to file an amendment, that they have to be filed with the desk a time frame before the actual meeting of the House. And so those amendments then can be put into the system, and as the member stands up to make those motions, then that data for the members to look at are there. Plus, any supportive information on that amendment and or by the committee is also immediately available by toggling on some keys that can bring up your fiscal or your revenue or your staff measure summary or the actual bill, which, you know, might work for the Oregon process. But I do believe that we can't, you know, run from technology. It, you know, either we're going to embrace it and put it in, you know, the process, given some examination and using it for the business practices that we now have, or it's going to take control of us and it's going to change our business processes. And so I think we do need to be very proactive in moving towards a direction to embrace technology and to look at our business practices and see how we can use that.
One other question, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Wilhelms.
In our motion, one of the negatives about serving on this particular committee is that everything we do costs money, it seems. Eventually, somebody's going to go into overload at whatever point it is. But I'm not one of them. I'm all in favor of providing the resources to the legislature to get ourselves into the 21st century, including the money that it would take to do this. So, should we, and this is a question, I'm not proposing an amendment to your motion, but should we, in that motion, strengthen the motion by acknowledging that we support providing the resources necessary to do the technology, to procure the technology. And the question is, because we all know it's going to cost money, do we want to just acknowledge it up front, or is it a negative to the motion to talk about spending money again? I like the idea of being more forceful and positive about providing the resources to do it.
Commissioner Krieger, as a current member, any thoughts on that?
Well, I don't object to it. I think if you want to add strength to your motion, that we need to be working in that direction, realizing we're ultimately going to probably be pushed there over time. I see nothing wrong with it.
Well, if it's implicit in the motion, probably not necessary, but it's just one of those things. I'm concerned about the final report that we write for the commission and the recommendations that we put forth. And I don't want there to be gray area. I want it to be as forceful as possible. Now, obviously, there's probably it's going to be something a little less than the way I'd like to see it done. But nevertheless, where we can, I would like to make our recommendations as clear and as forceful as possible. But I would defer to the committee. I'm not going to fight with anybody over this, unless there's some agreement. Yeah. If that's a good idea, I would give it up and just agree that it's implicit in the motion and let it go with that.
Yeah, I feel it's implicit in the motion, but I would ask any others. Commissioner Garber, any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm not there to see the body language, so I can't tell how people feel.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer.
Most of us are sitting back in our chairs.
Okay. I think it's implicit in the motion, but I agree with some of the comments that we need to be specific, while also being general, which is a contradiction, but we need to say we're talking about computers on the floor, we're talking about keeping up with the technology, but not tying the legislature's hands to a particular system like the Florida system, for example, because other things may, over time prove to be better than that.
All right, let me run the latest iteration of the motion by you. It is to recommend that the legislature use technology to the best of its ability to expedite the legislative process. This includes the possibility of using laptops or consoles on the floor or in committee meetings, electronic bill book technology, and on-demand printing. We encourage the legislature to approve rules to govern the use of technology in committee meetings and on the floor. Thoughts?
From the committee.
I would agree that it's implicit in the motion.
All right, I'll accept a motion then.
So moved.
Okay, so moved by Commissioner Burns. Any additional discussion? All right, seeing none, we'll go to a vote. Kelly, please.
Burns?
Aye.
Garber?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Sheriff
Ramirez,
excused. Wilhelms?
Aye.
Chair Wilson? Votes aye. Motion carries. And we will close the public hearing and work session on proposal 008.
Supreme Court.
Go ahead. Thanks, Wayne. We'll open a public hearing and a possible work session on proposal 044, and that is electronic voting in the Senate. And witnesses, if you would reintroduce yourselves, please.
Okay. Judy Hall, Secretary of the Senate. I wanted to give you just a little bit of background of what happens in the Senate as far as our process. We currently have what I would call a voting system, but we still do oral roll call. And so we enter the votes for the members. We have a board in the Senate chamber. We have two boards, actually, that were installed in 1995 to allow the public to know what the final vote is and to also help the members know when they came in, maybe from a committee meeting or came in late, they'd know what we actually were taking up, we were voting on at the time. As in all things, the distractions on the floor and that kind of thing does concern me because I'm not getting any younger and my hearing is not as good as it once was. And everybody at the desk does take the roll. We do what we call a roll the roll, where we start with a different member every time and then end with calling the president's name last. And then if there are any members that happen to be outside the bar, then we call their names again, so we can get an accurate count. I think that probably the noise distraction, especially if there's something really exciting going on, the acoustics in the Senate chamber are different from every place you might be. We have taken the role at times, and somebody at the one end of my desk has got a completely different answer than somebody from the other end of the desk. All of the members have different intonation. I've got some members that shout it right out, and I can hear it, and it's clear. And the other thing that we're kind of looking into right now is maybe taking one step further in putting the members' actual votes up on the voting board. When the voting board was installed, I did get one that was expandable, so that's always kind of been an option, but right now we have financial constraints. But that would be the next step that we would be looking at before we actually go to buttons on the desk. And also looking ahead, technology is getting to a point where the wireless system possibly could take care of that, so it wouldn't be a huge job to hardwire the Senate chamber. I think we'd still have to have some hardwiring, but it wouldn't be what it was years ago. We could still do something like that.
Okay. I apologize. I was figuring if I had a quorum here for a moment while you made your last statement before the step that you would take before going to button voting on the
board. Oh, the step would be to put the individual members' names on the board and how they voted.
Right.
We think that that would give greater public access. I know when we are televised that they do turn the cameras on the board, so at least you would be able to see how your senator voted, much like you could in the House. There'd have to be some rules developed.
What is your understanding about this proposal? When we talk about electronic voting, how did you interpret that proposal here that came in? Does electronic mean voting
yes.
by button on the desk, or does it mean having the name on a board like it exists in the House?
Chair Wilson, I do feel that it did mean having a button on the desk. I think that's what they were foreseeing. And from my perspective, it probably would be more accurate. It would also help the members. But like I said, it would be much more expensive to do the whole thing. So I prefer to think of it in increments. And if the next step, when and if we were able to do that, that would be what I'd do. It would help the members, too, to see how they voted so that if there was a question as to how they voted, they could question it right away.
You know, when people ask me about the differences between House and Senate procedure on voting, I've always kind of described it as the difference between American League Baseball and National League Baseball, and it's all baseball, but they're subtly different in some ways. What is the history of the difference in the way the voting is done between chambers?
I think, Chair Wilson, I believe that because we have half the number of members, and it's a custom of the Senate, stand up and be counted to say your vote out publicly, even though on the House side, it's still a public vote. I'm not saying that it isn't. I think that the history would be that we are the more staid
mm-hmm.
Chamber.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Ramona, you're back up. you go ahead and introduce yourself for the record.
Yeah. Chair Wilson, Ramona Kennedy, Chief Clerk of the House.
The history on the House getting the voting system, the voting system was put in 1974, and it was a direct result as a recommendation from the former commission on the legislature. When the commission on the legislature was created back in, I think, 69, 71, and they did the review of everything, and there was a real push at that time throughout the states to really beef up the legislative branch and to bring it into whatever century it was at that point in time, that one of the recommendations was that the House go to, that the legislature go to electronic voting, and the House actually picked up that recommendation and put it in 1974 to be used in the first session in 1975. We have now upgraded it, I think, three times since that, but at that point in time, the Senate chose not to pick up that recommendation. So that's how the House ended up with the electronic voting system, was a direct recommendation from a commission not unlike yours.
Thank you. Judy, I gather then if you could wave the magic wand, then you would go to a system much as the House has.
I will do what the Senate wants me to do, Chair Wilson.
What do you judge the Senate membership feeling is about?
I hear it from both sides. I hear some folks that probably would prefer to keep the custom of the Senate. They like the oral roll calls. I do hear others, though, that really would like to move on into the 21st century, and they want to have the buttons. I hear from lobby that says, oh, do we have to go through one of those long roll calls again, which I don't think it would probably, I don't think our roll calls take any longer than it would take to open a voting system and allow the members to come and vote if they're wandering about the chamber.
Yeah. I gather then you think is practical middle ground then just having the Senate members' names and how they voted showing electronically might be a nice next step.
I think that would be a really good first step. When I first put the boards in the chamber in 95, I had many of my members that had been around for a long time be very critical and didn't feel like they needed that voting board in there. It was too high-tech for them. And before the session ended, I had members walking in the chamber saying, and if the number wasn't on the board, it's like, why isn't the board working? The same members that were very critical. So I think it's just, we'll get there and...
I have a feeling that you're going to face that with any electronic change you make there. You know, the same process will ensue.
Chair Wilson, I would say that I think it would be easier for us, and I think it would be more accurate. But like I said, I'm going to leave that decision to leadership and to the Senate members. They're going to make that decision ultimately.
Yeah, thank you. Commissioner Wilhelms.
Well, I had the privilege of serving in the old way and watch the transition to the new way in the House, and it was also a tradition for the House members to stand and or to vote orally. The answer to that criticism is that, you know, if it's an important vote, you still can. And on those hundreds or possibly thousands of votes that you take on the floor, most of them are not that significant from a public interest standpoint. Thus, it would probably speed up and create more accuracy if you did have an electronic voting system. I understand that it's going to ultimately be up to the members to approve or disapprove it, but I hope that our committee will go all the way and make a recommendation to convert to electronic voting in the Senate. And if it has to be done in stages, I understand that, and that's fine. But I think the recommendation ought to be that we go all the way.
Thank you. Any further thoughts from committee members? I am not predisposed to make a recommendation today. I want to think about this a bit more. Marjorie has given me a possible thought here today. Recommend we take no further action on the proposal. The Senate will decide when and how to change the voting system. That more than likely will be true. But I would like, as a committee, to be just a bit more contemplative about what our relationship is to this. And so if the committee does not mind, I'd just soon stand down on this one, and we'll bring this one back another day. Okay? Okay. With that said, I will close the public hearing and possible work session on 044. And, okay, great. We're going to move to the phase where we take public testimony here. And, okay. All right. Peter, anything from you today? Thank you for being here, by the way. We feel more important when we have a member of the press here covering us. So, thank you, and especially if it's you. So thank you. Okay. Well, committee, staff, anything we should discuss before we go?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, based on our discussion earlier this morning about the recommendation for the wing renovation, I will work with the legislative administration on preparing a report just like we did for the session structure recommendation. We'll send it to you for your approval and then send that out to all of the commission members before our May meeting.
Okay, thank you. All right, before we go, I'd just like to thank Marjorie and Kelly for their able help today. So thank you. All right, nothing else. Committee is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.